The opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, North State. This is Rich Novelli, and you are listening to Wellgate Wellness, another edition where we talk about various topics related to the health and well-being of the North State. We're going to take a little departure this morning, and we are very, very privileged to have Jake Mangus, who is the new president of the Reading Chamber of Commerce, visit with us today. Good morning, Jake.
Good morning, Rich. Thanks for having me on.
We are thrilled to be talking, and we're going to talk a little bit about the health of the business environment here in Reading specifically, and talk to Jake, get to know him a little bit more. I know he's got some very ambitious plans for the business community here, and which is a welcome topic for us. Being a relatively new business in Reading ourselves, obviously we want to talk about how we can leverage the power of the chamber and talk about what the chamber does for small business. And specifically, you want to talk a little bit today about the business environment for the small businesses here in Reading. So we'll get into that with Jake a little bit later on. But to start off with, I want to introduce Jake to our listening audience. Jake is the president and chief executive officer of the Reading Chamber of Commerce. He started the fall of 2015, is that correct? And your first day on the job, though, was January the 4th.
That's right. Yeah, they made the announcement in October of 2015, and I had heard about this, and I was working at Northern Valley Catholic Social Service just about the 10-year anniversary of my time with that organization. And when I found out that they were going to make that announcement, I thought, well, I better go talk to my boss here and let her know that something's going to be in the news in the near future. But thankfully, that was a great transition with NVCSS. I concluded the calendar year with that organization, and we finished strong in terms of the generosity and the giving of people, because that was my role as development director, was to inspire people to give to the cause, and then transition to the new year and a new start with the chamber.
Wow. Well, so what made you go down this path?
So for me, in my role with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, I was a step away from providing direct service to the clients that organization served so well. My role was to work with people and businesses to bring the message and the mission to them and to ask for their support. So what I saw very clearly was that the business community has a huge influence on the community as a whole. Mm-hmm. And as business goes, so goes our community, was something that I recognized. I think about the donor pyramid, and that was something that we always looked at in fundraising. And it was like the top of the pyramid would be a small number of businesses or individuals who were giving large gifts to the organization. And those were usually comprised of the small business owners. And so, you know, I think better than small business would be the local business owners.
Local, right, yeah.
It wasn't Chase Manhattan that was giving the gift. It was Reading Bank of Commerce or Cornerstone Community Bank, for example. And when things were tough with the recession, we definitely felt it. So I thought, if I'm going to make a difference in this community, the Chamber of Commerce is a great way to do that, because I like the idea of being able to go to bat for businesses of all shapes and sizes, particularly maybe it's because I'm the oldest child in my family, so birth order and that responsibility thing comes on my shoulder.
Same thing with me. I'm there with you.
So it's like that mom and pop shop that's having a challenge, and their voice is only so loud on their own. But if they join an association of other businesses, and all of a sudden they're part of 800 other businesses and thousands of employees, all of a sudden, when the chamber goes to bat for them, their voice is much stronger, and it will be listened to. So,
and that was kind of what I was leading into. So how does the chamber work with small businesses? I've worked throughout the country, and depending on the size of the city, the chamber gets more or less involved in the day-to-day. But in a community like Reading, where it's so tightly knit anyway, how does the chamber really benefit businesses?
Well, that's what I think you hit it on the head with the tightly knit community that we have. I guess I'll go to it's sort of our branding message right now, which is that we champion your business, and we do that through strategic partnerships and through advocacy and through resources. What I want the community in business and our community as a whole to think is that the Chamber of Commerce is the go-to source for business solutions, and it's also the place where we can go to find out what good stuff is happening in the community. We don't ignore the challenges of the day. They're ever-present in the headlines, et cetera. There's a lot of good stuff that happens here, too. So I want the Chamber to be the one that bangs the drum for those
Sure.
or carries that banner. But when you get into specifics as to how do we help businesses to be successful, well, I guess you could start with the advocacy piece. We are in an election year, and so there's a lot of conversation happening right now in our community, on city council level, on board of supervisors. We've got a proposed sales tax measure and an accompanying advisory measure coming out in November on the ballot. And so the business community, I have been told by other associations that they rely on the Chamber of Commerce to take the lead in terms of political advocacy, working with our local governmental agencies to do things that are beneficial to business locally. So that is a responsibility that we have. What I've been telling our political action committee and our board recently is that realizing that responsibility is sort of like having an ace up your sleeve at the card table, but it doesn't mean that you play it on every hand. So we've got to be strategic as to when we get involved and when we decide to let the voters decide. So it's kind of a case-by-case basis, and like you mentioned before, I've started in January, so this is 5 months in. It's an early take. That's where I'm at right now, and thankfully we've got a lot of experienced people that are volunteers in terms of our board members and our committee members that are helping me through this process too.
Well, I think you said something that was really important, finding this balance between the power of the business community and the overall atmosphere and temperature, if you will, of the community, and trying to balance those two to have the greatest leverage, if you will, on certain types of issues. I know as a small business owner, we often feel alone out there mm-hmm. in what we're trying to do. And so I had found Reading government to be fairly receptive to new businesses coming in here. But, of course, I was kind of stepping into a pre-existing operation that we didn't have to make a whole lot of changes. Is Reading a business-friendly community?
So it hasn't had that reputation.
Right.
That's been, according to people speaking to me early on, what I've been really pleased to see would be some, you might say, culture changes at the city of Reading within the building department and economic development. There is a man by the name of Larry Voppel that works for the city, and I've met with Larry a number of times, and I've been very impressed with the paradigm shift, I would say, that he is creating there within the department. He says that we are taking a customer service approach. He said that as a department, we have to enforce the rules and regulations and the laws involving the building code in the state of California. However, the approach that you take in showing people what can be done and what can't be done, that's where you can make the difference. So are you solutions focused? Are you just there to say, no, you can't do that. I'm sorry. Our doors are closed. That's not the way that it is anymore. It's gone from adversarial to facilitative, and those are his own words, Larry's mm-hmm. words. He treats every customer as a client, and I think that's really exciting. That is a shift for the city of Reading. I was thinking about this recently, actually. When you look at, Silicon Valley, it's pulsating with business, and I got on some of the city websites like Sunnyvale or Mountain View, and they kind of trumpet the fact that they are so business friendly.
Come here,
we're ready to go. And so it seems to me that if you're starving for commerce like the North State is, that we should be following that same model and saying, we want to encourage you to come here. We're going to make it easy. We're going to be friendly. We have a welcoming committee. We've got a concerted effort that streamlines this for you. You learn from talking with developers that time is money, and if they're entering into a relationship with a municipality on some development, if they can have it, the length of time from start to finish shortened, even by a couple of weeks, that's more profit on their end, and they're more apt to say, yeah, we're going to do this. And conversely, if it's challenging, they're talking to others in the industry, and they're saying whether or not they should be doing business in Redding and in Shasta County. So I want our reputation to be positive so that more people will take a chance on us and see this hub that we have up here as a viable place to develop.
What's been your feedback from the community? Do you feel that there's been this receptiveness to business growth in the community? Has there, in Redding specifically, has there been pushback? I mean, as a relative, my family's been in Redding for 20 years, but and I've been back and forth personally. My limited feedback has been, we don't want massive change in Redding. We don't want to lose what's great about Redding. And I couldn't agree more, by the way.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful
mm-hmm.
place, and I certainly would not want to lose the environmental, the small-town feel, that friendliness that is there. I mean, I tell people all the time, Redding is a big, small town. And it's amazing to me that there are such wonderful people here. But I still don't get the sense that there is, from the community's perspective, this, yes, let's grow the economic base in this town.
Well, I think that I could go in a lot of different directions with this. Yes, I totally agree that the quality of life in Redding is probably our biggest asset. I mean, right there with the natural resources that we have in abundance here, relatively affordable property, et cetera. We want to see, I think, in general, strategic growth, not just growth for growth's sake, but let's see the plan that's well thought out.
Yes.
We have a really large geographic area in the city of Redding, and it's larger than San Francisco as far as square miles.
Wow, yes.
So you think about that, and we don't, I mean, I've heard this, we don't want a Bay Area North. Yeah, absolutely, that's true, because the time that we have in our commute that's less than 20 minutes in most cases puts us well above the national average, and that's such an advantage because we've got more time to spend coaching Little League or getting involved in civic goings-on or just being with our families. So that's a big deal. I think that it is more of a fear for people to think, oh, we're going to have skyscrapers and jammed freeways
right.
and things like that. Well, I think we can all say that that's not going to happen overnight. So I think that what it really begs for is a larger conversation about what we want here in Redding.
So a plan.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to have a dialogue.
Yes.
There has to be a plan. I think most fear comes from the fact that people don't know.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if the conversation revolved around, we want Redding to be this beautiful community.
Mm-hmm.
We want Redding to be known as a business-friendly community if it's within the plan of the business growth environment.
Yep.
But without business, I mean, this place, you know, we were hit really hard with the economic recession
in this
town. And I just saw the numbers were back down to about, 6.5%, maybe 7% unemployment, which is still above the national average, but well within a respectable limit for this community. So, again, as a business owner, one wants to see a thriving economy so that people are moving into this area, they're contributing to the community, but it's done within the constraints of a very well-thought-out plan.
That's right. Absolutely, I would agree. And maybe this is a time to tease something, but we've got a lot of big projects as far as for the Redding area that we're right on the cusp of, and I think that's really exciting. Someone asked me what I thought about the state of business in Redding, California, and I said, I'm bullish on Redding, and there are a number of reasons for that, so I'm excited to talk about that.
Yep. In the next segment. We're coming up on the end of our first segment here. We are speaking with Jake Mingus. We are very privileged to have him here. Jake is an athlete as well, if you don't know. He's run a couple of marathons. He shared that with me. So he's bemoaning the fact he's not in great shape right now, but I'm looking at him. He looks like, so you can certainly hear, he's full of energy right now.
I got 5 miles in today.
You got 5 miles.
I'm feeling good. The endorphins are running through my body.
All right. Well, keep that energy high. We're going to be back in just a couple minutes here. You're listening to Wellgate Wellness. I'm your host, Rich Novelli, and we're speaking with Jake Mingus from the Chamber of Commerce. We'll be right back after a few messages.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life. Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to two Saturdays or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
Come on down to the Air Force Memorial Show and Shine at the Anderson River Park Moose Grove on Saturday, September 24th from 10 till 2 p.m. This end-of-summer blowout event is free to the public and features your favorite Porsches, Corvettes, Mini Coopers, exotic supercars, and cars from the British Car Club. And be sure to get your mouth-watering tri-tip dinner for just $12. All proceeds support the Air Force Memorial Project. See you there.
West Valley High School Athletic Boosters, a nonprofit organization, would like to invite you to our first annual Hall of Fame dinner being held Saturday, August 27th, 6 p.m. at Mercy Oaks. No host bar featuring Wild Card Brewery. We are celebrating alumni Bri Walther, Tabitha Wampler, Maria Orozco, Pam Davis, Wes Gray, Michael Walker, and Joe Burgon. Tickets can be purchased at the Elegant Bean Coffee Shop in Cottonwood. We look forward to seeing you there. All proceeds benefit the high school athletic programs.
What is your true dream vacation? Let us help you define it. At Wind River Resort and Casino, play our Pick Your Paradise Swipe to Win promotion. Win free slot play, cash prizes, or a dream vacation and $1,000 cash. Cash. It's simple. Spin the reels on any slot machine or swipe your free River Club card daily. Every 200 points gets you an entry. Double entries on Mondays and Tuesdays. Drawings Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Swipe for your chance to win a variety of prizes or a dream vacation. Plus, we have new games just waiting to hit the jackpot.
Unlimited entries all month long to increase your chances. Picture yourself in your paradise. Whether you like sandy beaches or city skylines, rest assured that we have the vacation destination that you desire. This is your opportunity to pick your paradise that you've always dreamed of.
Final prime, Wednesday, August 31st,
where you could win a dream vacation and $1,000 cash. Remember, more games, more ways to win, more fun at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Some restrictions may apply.
For official rules and details, log on to windriver.com. Vacations are better at the river.
Gold and silver prices change daily. With a solid reputation for more than 30 years in the bullion and coin business, the Gold Mart will help with questions regarding investing in gold, silver, and platinum. Whether you're considering diversifying a large portion of your retirement portfolio or purchasing an ounce or two to start your nest egg, the Gold Mart has the knowledge and experience to make your experience pleasant, and the Gold Mart never charges fees or commissions on your transactions, so you're assured of professional help without any high-pressure sales gimmicks. Call 221-4653 to make an appointment or stop by and speak with our friendly staff at 1191 Hilltop Drive in the Town and Country Square.
All right, welcome back. We are talking with Jake Mangus, the president and CEO of the Reading Chamber of Commerce. And Jake, I was remiss. You are currently serving on the Mercy Medical Center Advisory Council. You're a member of the board of directors of the Rotary Club of Reading. And Reach Higher Shasta, right?
That's correct.
Am I leaving anything off on that?
Oh,
and you're still on the advisory board of the North Valley Catholic Social Services, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Before I left, I said it's sort of like when you break up with a girlfriend, perhaps. I'm trying to remember way back when and say, well, you know, we'll always be friends,
right.
And then distance and time, and you separate. So I thought, well, I want to stay connected with that organization, so that's what I've done.
And you've made the concerted effort to stay in touch and reach out to these communities. I find it interesting because these groups certainly have a wide-reaching and broad range of interests, and so you keep your finger right on the pulse of what's going on.
That's right. I mean, I look at Mercy Advisory Council and the importance of access to health care here in the North State and in the Reading area. We are very fortunate in that respect. I'm thinking about this economic development report that I had sent to me from Dan Ripke down in Chico, and it was talking about the North State and how Reading scored above the national average for access to health care, which I thought was pretty remarkable. And also we were way up there with those low commute times to and from the work, like I mentioned. And then we didn't do so well in a lot of the other key economic indicators that you would imagine. But Reach Higher Shasta that you mentioned earlier, I just said yes to being a part of that board because I saw this diagram recently, and it had to do with economic development, and I think they're called concentric circles. So there were three of them, and where the three overlap is education, government, and business, and that defining economic, that's where economic development happens. And so I thought, well, with Reach Higher Shasta, their whole thing is about having every option for every child. And I thought, you go downstream, and they have this program called Career Connections. So they go downstream, and they talk to employers, and they say, what are you looking for out of your workforce? And then, so then Reach Higher Shasta goes back upstream, like into middle school, and they start working with the teachers and the counselors at that point, and working with the kids and the students to let them know what kind of skills they should be teaching in the classroom.
Right.
Not saying that a fifth grader is going to say, oh, I know what I want to be. I want to write code when I grow up. But at least it starts to make them more aware of the things that are available right here in the community. Because I want to see more of our shining stars, certainly, I guess, academically be able to raise a family here in the Reading area in the North State.
Yeah, I think that I see that as a big challenge, too. I mean, you obviously have your base of medical services here, which brings in a lot of families and certainly the county seat and the legal environment. But beyond that, it does seem to be a challenge. If people want to be part of this incredible environment up here to bring their families up here and make a living. I can't tell you how many people we have run across here in the short time that we've been up here that have, you know, they're working two or three jobs, and they're all part-time jobs, right? Of course. So,
yes.
So it's like that's the way that people are making a living here. And to me, it seems a little bit of a challenge to keep young people within a community if there aren't those longer range options for them. We're blessed to have a great team at Wellgate. But I will tell you, it's those are bookmark positions for a lot of these kids.
Sure.
They say, well, what am I going to be when I grow up? Well, it's certainly not going to be necessarily working behind a front desk in a retail store or in a health club.
Yep.
So what's next for me here? And there seems to be limiting options. Is that something that the chamber is focusing on? You shaking your head.
Absolutely. I'll confess that I'm 35 myself, and I'm kind of one of the exceptions to the rule in that I didn't go too far away to college. I went to Chico State, but I ended up coming back to Reading, and so far, knock on wood, raising a family, and been very fortunate to go from one opportunity to the next in a progression over time. But what can we do as a community to retain and attract more of that young talent? That's been a big question for me, and these are a lot of stats that I'm going to throw out at you right now, so bear with me, but I was reading online when I was Googling millennial, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're going to the zoo, and you've gone to the elephants, and then you went and you saw the monkeys, and now you're coming to the next exhibit, and it's the millennial, and a millennial is a strange creature with different, marketing habits and all these kinds. So anyway, reading about the millennial, a millennial is defined as someone who was born between the years 1982 and 2000.
Okay.
That's a pretty wide range. I mean, you could have like a 33-year-old and a 16-year-old standing next to one another, and they're considered the same generation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty far-reaching. But let's just use that for conversation. That in Forbes.com 2013 article, they said that millennials are the largest segment of the population in the U.S. today, more than 80 million strong, and that by the year 2025, which is now less than 9 years away, 3 out of every 4 in the workforce will be a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then in the next 3 to 5 years, more than half of baby boomers are to retire.
Right.
I don't know if that translates exactly to our local region, but as a trend, we think it will. And then so as a chamber of commerce, how can we help with this, let's call it the transference of leadership
right.
from one generation to the next.
Right.
So a lot of chambers have entered into this program concept of having an under 40 group where it helps to cast a wide net and be the gateway to leadership development, access to decision makers and industry leaders, helping them to develop professionally and all that kind of stuff. And it helps, I think, in an awareness building of the community that exists that maybe they weren't aware of. So it's like connectivity in a way where there are 90,000 people in Reading alone, according to the city limit sign, and how many of them are between the ages of 21 and 39 who don't know, I guess most of the people that are in that age group that are in this community because they just don't interact with one another.
Right.
So we want to try to bring more of them together so they can be strengthened by that realization that there are more of them in their peer group that are here. So, the 2030 Club exists and Catalyst Young Professionals exists, and there are other organizations that do serve that demographic. We wouldn't try to duplicate what they do. Instead, it would be cast a wide net, bring in more of that group, and then connect them with those organizations that exist. But I want to see future leaders developed today in larger quantity, growing that pool of young talent, and then helping them to advance in their careers. I think that's a benefit to the employer, and I think also to the employee as you try to continue to get better in the things that you do.
Yes, so. I couldn't agree more. Now, one of the things you listed for me in terms of some of the areas we wanted to cover was the Reading Chamber of Commerce under 40.
That's right.
Tell me a little bit more
about that. Well, in Sacramento, their Chamber of Commerce is called the Sacramento Metro Chamber. They serve, Sacramento and the surrounding areas. And so their under 40 group, it's a program of that chamber, and it's called the Metro Edge, and they call themselves edgers. And so, wow. You know, in Reading, I don't think we'd use the term metro, you know. Like, unless you're marketing hand lotion and, oh man, he's got soft hands, you know, but so if you get closer to home in Chico, it's called the Young Professionals Organization, or YPO. Boulder, Colorado, it's the Young Professionals Network, YPN. So Reading is going to have one of those programs as well that makes sense for our region. And I'm fortunate that we've got Mercy Medical Center, Dignity Health, as well as Five Star Bank that have stepped forward to be founding sponsors of this. And I think there's something that's exciting about knowing that you're going to be contributing to the future workforce. And these are people who are raring to go. They're excited about getting better. They want to learn from those who are already established in business. And I think it'll be a two-way street. We'll see many generations coming together through this. I think that those that are older, that are established in their careers, will learn from the millennials, and then the millennials will certainly learn from the experience of those.
So this is more a think tank, or is this entrepreneurs that are coming in? How would you define the group?
I see it more like Chico Chambers model, which is, let's say you're Wellgate Sports Club, Rich, and you've identified that young person at the front desk that you mentioned earlier, and you can see that this is like you said, a bookmark in their career, but you want to retain them because they're so gifted, and you want them to stay a part of Wellgate as long as possible. So you get them engaged in the Chamber of Commerce's Under 40 Leadership and Professional Development group, and they get, I think it's like a, in Chico, it's $100 a year for that employee, and it's employer-sponsored usually. Mm-hmm. And then that person gets ongoing access to training opportunities, and they get connected with others in their peer group, and they get connected with people who have been successful in many different industries.
Wow.
And so they're continuing to grow their skill set. And maybe they end up being like the head of membership services at Wellgate.
Right.
You know,
right,
so,
right.
You know, you just think about those types of those ideas, retaining that workforce. And I'm assuming that for an employer, it's costly to constantly deal with turnover because you have to train new people and all that kind of
right,
stuff.
Right. Right. So. Well, so, you know, clearly one of the big issues as a business owner is the safety and security of our customers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a we learned a very hard and valuable lesson when we first moved into this area. Now, you know, we're in the heart of, you know, the West Side and
sure.
downtown, and being on the corner of Court and Eureka, we see a lot of folks that were classified as homeless, but also the transient population,
yep.
which I differentiate as two different groups.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
We talk to a lot of outside vendors, and one of the busiest vendors, contractors out here is the fencing people, because you know, you're finding a lot of businesses spending an awful lot of money on security and fencing and those kind of things, which can't be good for the business environment here in Reading.
Yeah.
But it's certainly something that has to be addressed if the community is going to be looking at building a strong business base. 80% of businesses in this country are small businesses. If
yeah.
that's the base, if that's where the gravel gets laid first to attract larger businesses, you have to provide, you know, a safe environment for people to be building their businesses, and let alone the cost, the infrastructure cost of providing that safety and security. So you had mentioned to me this idea of, you know, of how the chamber approaches, you know, these kind of things and what they're doing in terms of leveraging the voice of
sure.
small businesses in that area. Maybe you can explain.
Well,
that.
I think that your story about taking steps to ensure that your customers feel safe when they come to visit, that's something that I've heard many times over.
Mm.
And there is this sense that people are just fatigued, and that's a really mild way of putting it, as business owners and dealing with the constant struggles related to property crimes and things like that in our community. And I just say that no matter what, if we want Reading to be a place that tourists want to visit, employers want to locate, and employees want to live, it's got to be perceived as a safe place. So what Brent Weaver on the city council has championed, and the city council unanimously voted to put on the ballot in November, is for the voters to consider a 0.5% sales tax increase in the city of Reading That would be in the form of a general sales tax with an advisory measure. And the reason why it was structured like that is that it only requires a 50% plus one majority to pass. A few years ago, our mayor at the time, Rick Bassetti, put forward a specific tax that was for public safety, and it could be used for nothing else but public safety. But that required a two-thirds majority, and it had a majority vote, but not the two-thirds required, so it did not. It was not successful. So anyway, the chambers put out a survey to its membership to consider the 0.5% sales tax increase in November, and what do they think about it. And as of this moment, we've got 53% that are in favor and 47% that are opposed, which is pretty divided. And there are many reasons for that on both sides, and I don't know if we have got time for that right now.
Let's hold on that. We're about to take our second break here, but a fascinating topic because it really touches everybody, businesses and residents alike. So we're going to take a short break and keep this conversation going. Jake's been great. We really appreciate his time. This is Rich Novelli. You're listening to Wellgate Wellness on this Saturday, and we'll be back after a few short messages.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. We're doing a lot of heater upgrades, so if you think you want to try a new on-demand kerosene water heater or a Toyo heater, give us a call before winter. We can give you a free estimate. Robin down in Corning is very busy with all the truckers, farmers, with the ag season in full swing. Joe in Weaverville got his new awning up and all the lights are working for all the early birds. The Redding plant is selling a lot of ethanol-free 93 and a whole lot of barbecue bottles. And if you need a forklift tank, we got some of those in now. We have a lot of bulk oil in your container or ours, and we're open on Saturday till 3:30 at the Redding plant. Northern Lights Energy, everything from race car fuel, motor oil, red and clear diesel, and gasoline. In South Redding, we have the Muse Card Lock. Corning, Weaverville, and Redding, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Hi, I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR, 1460 AM on the dial. It's called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 AM. Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's The Flotline with Rick Hughes, every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 AM.
slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
West Valley High School Athletic Boosters, a nonprofit organization, would like to invite you to our first annual Hall of Fame dinner being held Saturday, August 27th, 6 p.m. at Mercy Oaks, No Host Bar featuring Wild Card Brewery. We are celebrating alumni Bri Walther, Tabitha Wampler, Maria Orozco, Pam Davis, Wes Gray, Michael Walker, and Joe Burgon. Tickets can be purchased at the Elegant Bean Coffee Shop in Cottonwood. We look forward to seeing you there. All proceeds benefit the high school athletic programs.
All right, we're back, and you're listening to Rich Novelli. I'm your host of Wellgate Wellness, and we are speaking to Jake Mangus, the recently appointed president of the Reading Chamber of Commerce. And if you've been listening the first two segments, you can get a sense of his energy and excitement, and it's got me fired up, certainly as a small business owner, but also as a part of this community and watching where Reading has evolved into in my humble perception over the last few years, and it's become a place that's a little bit less safe. And I think that if you talk to a large cross-section of people, which, you know, I've been able to do in my business, speaking to a lot of members that have from a variety of walks of life, business owners and just residents, old, young, it doesn't matter. And it's a little bit unnerving. You mentioned earlier, Jake, that people are fatigued.
Yes.
And at the risk of being politically incorrect, I've heard it much stronger than that, where people are saying, we want our town back.
Yeah.
And I think that that's not a selfish notion as much as it is, you know, we have a lot of people that move to Reading because of the quality of life here, the environment,
yes,
the surrounding, the access to these beautiful natural resources. And to, you know, walk outside, or if you can walk outside in a lot of areas, especially in this downtown area, that it's a scary proposition. I'm at the club from 6 o'clock in the morning until, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock at night. And I will honestly tell you that we are constantly on guard,
mm-hmm,
of people, of, you know, again, not putting labels on it, but for whatever reason, these folks that are, you know, looking for trouble.
Sure.
And it's scary. It's scary for businesses, but, you know, we're scary for our customers. And I think every business would agree that we have an obligation to, you know, manage the safety, or else people are going to go someplace else. And in our situation, it's been particularly challenging because we are right here, you know, in the downtown area. I know that this sales tax, it sounds like, has got mixed reviews thus far, but I will tell you, you've got to make up your mind as a business. I'm sorry, as a community. You're either going to allow the social services and for Reading to be a hub of where people in need can come,
mm-hmm,
for various aspects of getting their life turned around, which I'm all in favor of. But if you do that, you have to provide public safety.
Yep.
And I don't think there's a question that this so far has fallen on most of the private businesses in Reading to manage that. I will tell you without hesitation that we have spent tens of thousands of dollars on security, fencing, lighting, alarms, just general security services.
Sure.
Private security services, because we know that the police department is understaffed, that this idea that so much of the current crime in Reading is transient related, that crimes related by people that are in a dire situation in their own life. It's transient on transient crime, burglaries, drugs, all these things that are related. And without getting on a political soapbox, it becomes very difficult to try to sell that, I would imagine, as a chamber, to say, come to Reading and open your business here. And so what do you feel about this? And does Reading have a stance on the sales tax and public safety issue?
What we've done, well, I guess I'll backtrack a second and say that, yeah, I mean, the proof is in the the statistics. And when you look at property crimes and how they have gone up in Redding over the last few years, I mean, you see that there is a negative trend going on there. I think about public safety, and you think about, like, violent crimes, mm-hmm. like homicides and things like that, and certainly Redding is not unsafe if you just used that one.
Correct.
If you used violent crimes. But when you get into, I mean, it's beyond nuisance crimes. I certainly think that it has a negative effect on commerce when you think about your car could be vandalized when you're in Target shopping, or if you leave a window cracked in your home, somebody could break in and grab something and take off. And then to know that there are things like Prop 47 in place that tie the hands of the police officers from or the sheriff's office, I guess, in jailing people because they've got to cross over a certain dollar threshold of $950 or something like that for it to not be considered a misdemeanor.
Even register you on know their what I'm, radar, yes.
And so there's the accountability issue is a struggle. We teach our kids that there are going to be consequences if they make poor choices. But then these adults who are making poor choices don't have consequences. So it is just so backwards and so frustrating. So as far as like the Chamber of Commerce goes with this issue, we know that it is important right now. We're going through a process where, for me, we serve our members. We have 800 business members. And so I felt like as far as the order of operations, we needed to send out the survey to the membership first and find out what they think about it. And so, like I mentioned, to say that they're pretty divided would be accurate. I think the difference between 53% and 47%, where 53 are in favor at this point, 47 against, it's only a matter of like 10 votes.
Wow.
So when you start to look at it and you wonder, well, what are the arguments for and against? Well, those that are voting against or saying that they would vote against the proposed sales tax increase are saying that they don't trust that our local city officials and our local city council will do what they say they're going to do with the money.
Yes.
And that's because it's a general sales tax with an advisory measure. The advisory measure guides the money to public safety. So for police, for fire, for mental health services, and for substance abuse prevention. So in treatment. So anyway, I look at that and I say, we've got to trust people when they say that they're going to do what they say that they're going to do. But I also know that legally the funds could be used for other things. And I think that's where people have a challenge. So I know I'm not really committing right now to the position of the chamber because we have our process. We have a political action committee that's going to meet on June 1st. So our survey will conclude on May 31st. Then that committee will talk about the results of it and say what they're going to recommend to our board. And then the board will ultimately decide what position to take on this. We know that it's appropriate that it be on the ballot and that the public decide if we take a position or not remains to be seen, I
right.
guess.
Yeah.
All I know is that I'm very pleased to see that people are not accepting the situation currently.
Right, and that's what I was going to say. I think
yeah.
that people have reached that tipping point, that
yep.
the community at large is saying, we want our town back, we want our community back. We're all in favor of helping those less fortunate, and that's fine. And there are a lot of social services
yeah.
here that are in place, and Redding's, you know, been that known for that.
It's that helping those to helping those who want to help themselves, right?
Yeah, but not help themselves to everybody else's stuff, right? And that's what's been happening.
Yes.
And so, again, you know, we hear it a lot in our club about people saying that they're fed up, they're tired of this, and that we hope that the city officials will sit up and take notice. We understand that it's a complicated issue.
Yep.
We get that.
Absolutely.
But somebody's got to stand up and say, I'm not afraid to be unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
In one regard or another, because this is what's right for this community, because you're not going to attract small businesses or large business here. You're not going to attract customers from outside the area, certainly tourism, if this is perceived to be an unsafe community.
Yeah, I remember years ago, long before I started this new career, you could say, following along with the Reading Merchants Crime Watch and seeing the emails that were going around, and it seemed like it was almost daily that someone's bike was getting stolen out of their vehicle at one of the hotels on Hilltop Drive. And you're thinking, these are people who are visiting our community, whether they're staying here for a couple of days or just staying the night on their way to their next destination. And we don't want them to have that as the lasting impression of Reading. I was trying to think about there. Oh, there was something else too. I just Brent Weaver again with the city council. He updated the chamber recently in saying that two things. One, he's heard that trust is one of the potential obstacles here. So he wants to go an extra step. And in addition to getting the separate account and the regular updates to make sure that the funds are being used the way that they were intended to be used, he also is establishing or proposing to establish a, what would you call it, some kind of a citizens committee mm-hmm. that will be a watchdog mm-hmm. that also makes sure that these funds are used as intended. So I think that's important to know. And then the second thing is that there's Prop 30. Prop 30 was the short-term sales tax increase in California that is scheduled to sunset at the end of 2016. That was a 0.25% state sales tax increase. So that's going to go away in 2017. 2017 is when the half cent would increase in the city of Reading would go into effect. So it would be a net increase of 0.25% mm-hmm. of 1%.
Right.
And we would get the value of 0.5% of 1%. So I think that is an important note as well.
And most people probably don't even realize
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So the chamber, I believe that we... one of the major services for us is to educate the business community so that they understand the facts, because there people can spin these types of things on both sides to make the case for where their perspective is and their agenda. So I think that sleuthing out the facts is very important. Shasta Voices is another wonderful organization, and Mary Machado is affiliated with the chamber, and she's done a wonderful job in helping us in that respect.
Well, all I know, and I agree with you, I hate the politics of anything,
yep.
to be honest with you, but all I know is that, again, we talk to a lot of small businesses in our area that, have recently begun to think, is it worth, continuing to operate their business here? I mean,
yeah.
because of the safety and security issues. Otherwise, my gosh, you've got a wonderful community here that people would love to serve and love to see grow.
Yes.
And to your point, there is just so much opportunity, and that terrible word potential that hangs over a lot of cities, but in particular Reading, because of the amount of resources that it has, land resources and this wonderful community of people. My goodness, it just seems like a wasted potential if we don't at least address either improving the safety and security
mm-hmm.
while trying to improve the business climate here for people wanting to move into this town, thus feeding the aspirations of families to move into this
That's
area.
Right.
I mean, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, folks, if
mm-hmm.
if we can get that going.
I think about one of the things that you often hear is the number one role of government is to protect its citizens, and so I see that as a very important function, probably the paramount function. You look around town and you see the potholes on the city streets and all these things, and how do we make that better? Well, it's fostering that environment that's going to promote business, because the tax base will increase if we
mm-hmm.
can increase commerce in our city. So I'm hopeful. I mean, I did see a presentation by Kurt Starman at a Reading Electric Utility Key Accounts Breakfast about a month and a half ago, and it showed that the sales tax revenue for the city of Reading is on an upward trend
Great.
Since that low point when the bubble burst in the housing market.
Right, right.
And it's nearly back to where it was at the peak of the housing market in 2006 or so, and that's really encouraging, I would say, as well.
Well, it sounds like, from everything I'm hearing from you, Jake, that you have got a great open mind. You are reaching out into the community, both
That's
business
true.
And residential community. You're a man with a mission, and, it's certainly something that we would love to work with you a lot more on. I think there's, the fresh blood.
Yeah.
Fresh perspective.
Well, when I got the tour of Wellgate Sports Club and all of the wonderful things that you're doing to, I guess, settle for nothing less than excellence in what you're doing. It really is a great example to me of what I want to see us as a community embrace, which is that we should have higher expectations of ourselves, the things that we do, and what we think is possible here in Reading. Look at Megan Rapinoe this weekend.
Right.
This is a world-class soccer star, gold medal winner, World Cup winner, and she's a Foothill High School graduate, and she was at the Reading Soccer Park this weekend getting a street named after her. I mean, that is proof right there that you can do anything you want and be from Reading, California.
Well, I could not have said that better. You know, we've got Sarah Hall as one of our members. She's getting ready for the Olympics.
Beautiful.
We have got some people here that are shooting high, and it's a wonderful, wonderful town. We are privileged mm-hmm. to be here and servicing this community. Jake, I cannot thank you enough for the time today. This hour has flown by. We'd love to have you come back and maybe talk to us down the road if possible.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you again for your time and the wonderful work that you're doing at the Reading Chamber. This is Rich Novelli. You've been listening to Wellgate Wellness. We'll be back in a couple weeks for another show. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. Gwen Jorgensen has given the U.S. its first Olympic gold medal in triathlon. She's a former All-American track athlete and swimmer at the University of Wisconsin. No medal for the U.S. in the men's 4x100 relay. A U.S. protest of the team's disqualification has been rejected, so Canada will keep the bronze medal it won last night. It was Jamaica taking the gold medal. Correspondent Sagar Magani reports gymnast Simone Biles will carry the U.S. flag at tomorrow's closing ceremony.
It's one more honor for Biles after a record-setting games. In her Olympic debut, she became the first American woman to win four golds at a single games, one of just four women from any nation. She calls the vote by her fellow U.S. Olympians an incredible honor.
Sagar Magani reporting Ashley Johnson made nine saves. Kylie Neuschel scored three goals on four shots to beat Italy yesterday in water polo, but beating them was no easy task.
We actually lost to Italy at World Championships.